Giordano on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT. Philadelphia's Talk Radio 1210 WPHT, WPHT HD, WOGL HD3, Philadelphia. From the Cherry Hill Volvo Studios, where relationships matter. Always live on the free Odyssey app. It's Dom time. Now, Dom Giordano.
That's all-time great theme music. I don't know if the top 10 of anything you're going to find for the NFL. And then the voice of John Facenda. But we have here in Philadelphia that voice of Ray Didinger in yesterday's Eagles game. Already, I would say, significant floodgates. Fire Nick Sirianni. A lot of guys out. Prime players, three of the most important players other than the quarterback.
Get him out of here.
But not being ready for the heat. What happened to pickle juice? Andy Reid. He would have been ready with that.
Before we go to Ray, where do you place the blame? Is it more Sirianni or more Hurts?
Sirianni.
You think it's Sirianni?
This is not a team that's driven to the finest point, I think. That's right. And Hurts, I think, is revealing he's a slightly above average quarterback in that frame, not what we saw a couple years ago. Well, let's go to the great Ray Didinger. Hey, Ray, welcome back. Good to hear from you today.
Always nice to talk to you, Dom. How are you doing?
Good. So, Ray, is it too early to say Fire Nick is starting to have the Fire Nick watch? I see Marcus Hayes and the Inquirer and WIP and
Fire
others.
Fire Nick, I'm on board.
Talking about it.
I guess so. I mean, I was on with Joe DeCameron and John Ritchie this morning, and they were talking about it. I don't think that's going to happen, and I wouldn't call for it to happen yet. I mean, it's just four games into the season. I mean, if your rope on him was really that short, then you probably shouldn't have just brought him back anyway. I mean, if 4 weeks into the season you're ready to fire him, then you were silly to bring him back. That means you really didn't trust your decision to bring him back to first base. But I don't think they're there. I mean, there was a huge reevaluation of the team and the organization with the way the last season ended, which was, there's no other way to describe it. It was a monumental collapse. I mean, mm-hmm. they went from 10-1, wound up losing six of their last seven, were humiliated in their playoff game down in Tampa. So, I mean, there was a massive shakeup. I mean, they fired the offensive coordinator. They fired both of the defensive coordinators, but they brought the head coach back. So I don't see, I don't see them firing him now. I mean, some people look at it and they say, well, it's the bye week. You know, you've got 2 weeks to make this change and sort of put your house back in order. Well, have you really? I don't know. I mean, if you and I had this conversation, if you and I were talking at 2 o'clock last Monday, we would have been saying, boy, how good they played down in New Orleans. You know, how they went down there and they were mm-hmm. underdogs, and you know, the Saints were coming off a couple of big wins, and the Saints looked really good, and the Eagles looked really bad against Atlanta, and then they went down to New Orleans and just reversed everything. And now you hear 1 week later, and we're saying just the exact opposite. So I think that's, you know, to me, that's the frustrating part about evaluating this team, Dom, is right now I don't know what they are. You know, a week ago, I kind of thought, yeah, they look pretty good. I mean, they look really good down in New Orleans, and you kind of thought maybe they had righted the ship, and then they go down to play Tampa, who, frankly, I mean, they're nothing special. They're a nothing special team, really, in my mind, and they just took you apart. So, what are they now? I don't know. I really don't know. But I think a lot of the criticism is being directed at the head coach, and I can't say that's unwarranted, because clearly that team was not ready to play yesterday, and that was true right from the beginning. And when you can say that, then you're saying, yeah, then you really are kind of putting it on the coach.
Little side note, I may be in a minority. I didn't think Tom Brady was that bad as the color analyst. I don't think he's awful. Let's say that.
No, I would agree with you. I think he's pretty good. I think he's pretty good. He's obviously well prepared for it. You know, he's one of those guys that he was not going to go into this and just take it easily. I mean, he was not going to come into this and just go through the motions. I mean, he's a very driven guy, and anything that he does, he's going to try and do it really well. So I know that he really prepared, and he's a smart guy, and he played a lot of football, and he obviously knows the game from the inside out. So I think I've heard him now twice, and I think he's pretty good. I know people don't want to give him credit for that, and I know people around here still hate him, and he even kind of laughed about how the people in Philadelphia hate him. But you got to give him his due. I mean, he was a great, great, great player, and I think he's doing a pretty good job as an analyst.
Yeah, Ray, and to that point, he even addressed Tampa that when Brady was there, there was no joy. You know, he was just too driven of a guy, and Baker Mayfield was brought in so that the football team would have joy again. My God, is that an indictment of modern sports that you would rather have that than be driven by a guy? I mean, I look at afar and think, yeah, that's exactly who I want to be around. Even more, I don't even know if Brady's driven enough.
Well, I'll tell you, they look pretty joyful when they won the Super Bowl with him at quarterback.
Yeah,
they all think they're having a pretty good time that night. And I mean, to me, that's one of the most, even people who don't particularly like Brady, and even people who are jealous of him and don't like him, and there's a lot of those people out there. You got to give him his due. I mean, he leaves New England and goes to Tampa Bay, and in the first year down there, he wins the Super Bowl. So he's now won more Super Bowls than the guy who was his coach. And I think, for years there was that question, okay, who really makes the Patriots? Is it Belichick or is it Brady? Well, I think you got the answer now. I mean, they both obviously contributed to what that team built and what that team was. And there's no question about that. And, they're both going to be in Canton together at some point. There's no doubt about that. But I think when Brady was able to leave and go to a team, not a particularly great team, but he go to a team in Tampa and in the first year win the Super Bowl, I think that says about everything you needed to know about how great he is.
Ray, Phillies, I mean, you've written a lot, and baseball was your initial thing, coming up in the bar, etc. I see the Phillies at the end not driving to be the number one seed, and we started to hear how long the season is and difficult. I'm not minimizing, even though they make millions of dollars a year, the travel is excruciating and all that. But I just get nervous when I don't see that drive to the end to get ready for the playoffs.
Yeah, I know. And, they got off to a historically great start. I mean, the start that they got off to, right, through the first, I guess, 2.5-3 months of the season was the best in the franchise's history. And since then, I mean, really, since the All-Star break, they've been just pretty average. I mean, they've been maybe a 500 team since then. And so if you subscribe to the idea of momentum, and that momentum's important in all sports, they're not coming into the postseason with a heck of a lot of momentum. I mean, a couple of the other teams are. I mean, if the Mets get in, they are. The Padres have finished really strong. I mean, it's funny. I've seen like a number of baseball writers, national baseball writers, doing like already looking ahead to the postseason and doing like a power rankings thing of ranking the teams as they go into the postseason. And I was actually a little surprised how many of these, and not Philly writers, but national baseball writers, have the Phillies ranked first going into the postseason.
Wow.
When they're doing the power rankings, they have the Phillies first, the Dodgers second, the Yankees third. That seems to be the consensus. I'm not so sure I'd put the Phillies first, to be honest with you, based on the way they finished. I've thought all year, I mean, going all the way back to April, I mean, I thought it was going to come down to Phillies Dodgers. I really did. I mean, all along, to me, they were the two best teams. To me, it looked like they were on a collision course, and they may still be. If I had a handicap, I would say that. But I'm a little bit concerned because, Ranger Suarez, who looked like in midseason, looked like, he was on his way to winning the Cy Young Award. I mean, right now, I mean, the way he's pitched the second half of the year, I don't have a heck of a lot of confidence in him. Sanchez has never been through this before. They have an absolute ace in Wheeler. I mean, Wheeler is about as good as it gets right now. And you know, he's your number one guy, and you're going to give him the ball in game one, and he's going to go out and he's going to pitch his butt off. I know that. And Nola is a guy that's pitched well for you in big spots. But you got off to that great start this year largely because you had four really good starting pitchers. You had Wheeler, you had Nola, you had Suarez, and you had Sanchez. And right now you're going into the postseason, and I don't know that I can count on anybody other than the first two. I mean, Suarez to me looks like I don't know if he can get you through the third inning right now. And Sanchez seems like he's a pretty effective pitcher at home, but not so good on the road. So we'll see. I mean, yeah, we'll see.
Ray, a lot of Ray Dininger stuff coming up. I know the Big E, Tommy and Me, People's Light Theater out there at Malvern in January. And yep, you're also doing the Greatest Moments in Philadelphia Sports with Glenn Macnow, of course, and Joe Conklin.
Yeah, we did that for the first time 2 weeks ago out at the Ardmore Music Hall. It was just something the three of us put together. Thought we could have some fun with it. And we went out there and we did two shows and sold out the house both nights and just had a ball. I mean, who doesn't want to relive those moments? You know, I mean, it's just, and it was coming right after that heartbreaking loss to the Falcons on the Monday night game, the game that they basically gave away at the end. I mean, everybody was pretty much down in the dumps after that. So to come out and to have a night where you're out there and you're back watching the Phillies win the World Series and the Eagles win Super Bowl 52 and the Flyers winning back-to-back cups, I think the show did us all a lot of good. I think it really lifted everybody's spirits at a time when they really could need it.
So the next one with Glenn, Joe Conklin, Ray Dininger, Greatest Moments in Philadelphia Sports History, the Players Club of Swarthmore, December 3rd. How did we get tickets, Ray?
December 13th. Yeah, it's I just contact the Players Club of Swarthmore. I think tickets will be on sale shortly. And same thing for Tommy and Me at People's Light. Tickets will be going on sale in a couple weeks out there, and we'll be doing Tommy and Me out there for the better part of the month. I mean, I think we open January 8th, and I think we go to January 28th. So I think there's like 22 performances. So if folks want to, and it's largely the original cast will be back. And if people have seen the play and want to see it again, this will be your opportunity. And if you've never seen it, again, this will be your opportunity, and I'm really looking forward to doing it again. And People's Light is a really great theater, and we have been in touch with them on and off over the years about bringing the play out there. They wanted us to bring the play out there. We wanted to go out there, but timing-wise, it just didn't quite work. So, but now we finally got it worked out, so we'll have a nice long run there in January, and hopefully, let's cross our fingers, hopefully the Eagles will still be playing.
Hey, Ray, are tickets going to be on sale before Christmas?
Oh, yes.
Okay.
Oh, yes.
Awesome.
Which I think, that's part of the,
sure,
of the idea. I think it'll make a great Christmas present.
Yeah, exactly. Check that box. Thank you, Ray, very much.
Always a pleasure, Dom. Take care. You and Dan both. Take care.
Thank you. Bye-bye. And Henry. We have to include that in the future. We'll get a Henry question in there on the docket. Yeah, but we plan to get that for somebody, Dan. So, yeah, a whole month of it.
It's a great gift.
I've done the panel thing three times, I think, at various locations. It's one of a kind. It says a lot about Philadelphia.
You're lucky I couldn't get a question or two in there, because I would just pick his brain for the rest of the show.
Oh, yeah. Well,
great guest.
Good stuff. And we'll have Ray on periodically, of course, throughout all this. 855-839-1210. So basically, at this point, you got a swing state. North Carolina devastation. Trump in Georgia. And no sighting of Harris Biden at this point. Historic devastation, and there with Franklin Graham. All that in states like that is just a constant reminder of a difference here. And with small margins, particularly in Georgia, maybe, it was only 13,000 the last time, it matters. All right, well, coming up, though, I want to tell you about Malcolm Kenyatta. This guy's running in Pennsylvania to audit. So think about Treasury auditing, and he's sued by Drexel University for his unpaid tuition, late fees, attorney fees. He's a state senator, and this student loan debt stuff, once again, is out there. How cavalier. This isn't like any other kind of debt. And we'll update you, too, on a couple things as far as voting in Pennsylvania with Scott Presler. All that coming up. But first, it's time for...
It's Dobbs Money Melody!
Money gone.
All right, we're playing for a pair of tickets to A Night on the Bayou, celebrating Creedence Clearwater Revival. Ooh. I think they did this last year, I remember. On October 11th at the Zlock Performing Arts Center. We've had great events there, Rich and I. On the campus of Bucks County Community College. Dan, what do you have?
Yeah, Dobbs, we're talking about Florida, people associated with Florida. I'm going to take you back to 1994, to the campus of Florida State University, where two students really bonded over the topic of Christian theology, forming a band and later becoming, Dom, listen to this resume, multi-platinum albums, 11 times platinum for one of them, 28 million records, 53 million albums worldwide, the ninth best-selling musical act of the 2000s, Grammy Award winners, huge, huge band, and now completely irrelevant. So, Dom, we want to know who the lead singer is, or you can give me the name of the band, singing here with Santana, doing a cover of CCR, Dom. We want to know who the cover artist is today with that huge repertoire, who started a band back in 1994 on Florida State's campus, leading to huge success. Take a listen.
All right, I think we got enough, Dan, so we're looking for, again,
the cover artist there. Okay. You can give me the name of the band that he hails from that was formed on the campus of Florida State when two guys bonded over the topic of Christian theology, formed a band, later becoming Grammy Award winners, 11 times platinum for one of them albums, just huge, huge artists in the 2000s, and now completely irrelevant, Dom.
All right, 855-839-1210. That's how you get in.
Henry's looking at me like irrelevant. What are you talking about? They're irrelevant.
They have had a huge resurgence lately.
Okay.
Okay.
Huge.
AT&T and Verizon Wireless, all you need to do is just push #1210, jump in, and you're off to a great event over at the Zlock Theater at Bucks County Community College.
It's the Money Melody.
Where's all the money gone?
Show me the money.
Absolutely. All right, let's hear the clue for today. Who is covering this song? Let's go to Gail in Eagleville. Gail's on Talk Radio 1210. All right, Gail, who's covering that song?
Is it Creed? Scott Stapp?
Gail.
Wow, right out of the box.
Really?
Nicely played. Enjoy the Zlock, Gail.
Really hoping you get to the guy that said Hootie and the Blowfish, Tom. It's definitely not Hootie and the Blowfish. But yes, Scott Stapp of Creed, a huge, huge success after being founded on this campus of Florida State over Christian theology with Mark Tremonti, who went on and did a great solo thing, had Tremonti his own band. But Henry, you tell me that Creed's made a resurgence now?
Oh, absolutely. Higher, I mean, one of their classic hit songs, has been just trending in the last few months.
You know what I've noticed is at bars, it's almost become the new Journey, Don't Stop Believing, that people always request some kind of Creed song to sing along. So congratulations,
absolutely.
Gail, you win that prize.
Enjoy, Gail. All right, 855-839-1210. A couple things before we talk with Scott Presler and have the lightning round. House Republicans, finally, Politico over the weekend, taking new approach on abortion, talking about it. They're running ads, talking directly about abortion, a change from the past approach of largely trying to ignore the issue. You can't ignore it. You can say, and I get it, well, wait a minute. Is this always going to be where we're going to go? You can try to do that. And there's logic to it. Inflation, immigration, the world aflame, obviously. But they're not going to let you. It's unrelenting. And sadly, too many people, if you don't talk about it, think, well, what are you trying to hide? Democrats are talking about it ad nauseum. So it's a twofer. Now, during the debate tomorrow night, I expect this to come up. Vance, of course, will be more on the defensive on this, even though Walz is the one that has the more radical record. And I expect Vance to double down and be able to make that point again and again and again. God knows what the fact checkers will say. But this is an area where they will fact check vigorously. They'll go back to some of the things Vance may have said, take them out of context. But at least Republicans this time around are talking about it. And I could say in the last 2 weeks or so, haven't heard as much abortion talk. What you'll see, though, is as we get down to the last 2 weeks of the election, other than whatever the alleged October surprise is, that will be the theme. That'll be the go-to to try to bring it home. That's where it's always going to go. And a poll out yesterday, I think it was yesterday, it was over the weekend, talks about the share of people 18 to 24, the youngest voters, not really, 18 to 29-year-olds, poll indicating that they are much more conservative than voters, say, 29 to 35, just above them in age. And what's driving it are young American men who say they identify more with that. The younger generation of men is more likely to identify as conservative than as liberal, says Axios. That is a stunning flip when you take into account age. It's rare for any group of Americans that young to be more conservative than their immediate predecessors. So 26% of men 18 to 24 say they identify as conservative, 5 points higher than the 25 to 29-year-old men. Among women, the younger group is more conservative by 3 points. And the reason for this is, I think, they see the Democrat Party, and we kidded about this early on, out there again, Jen Psaki yesterday, saying, thank God we have the second gentleman and Tim Walz, that we have a new form of masculinity in the country. New form of masculinity. And they know to be a Democrat, a straight white Democrat male, you're an endangered species for a lot of reasons. You really have to be into politics a lot. You may want to be in that field. Maybe that's it. Other than that, you are not going to advance. You got to be like Tim Walsh. You got to be like the second gentleman. And I think somehow or another over the course of time, with every policy, with every statement, where we see Democrats going, they sense that. So I'm not sure if they're pro-Trump or just more conservative economically and in other ways. But even that cohort of voters, even young women, are in that camp, not as much as the men. Here's a nice line from this, summarizing this. The polling, and this is a Harvard Kennedy School, this jumped out at me. Youngest members of the group were just 10 years old when Trump was elected president. They see this era as normal. In other words, they don't see it, that word, chaotic again. They may look upon it fondly and see it as relatively normal, and they see the upside. They think of Trump as an anti-hero and not a villain. I think it's less about policy and much more about personality. So, here's another group. Last week, we talked about union members moving toward Trump. Today, we talked about Latinos moving toward Trump. We played you this pundit on MSNBC over the weekend saying they're doing that because they want to be white. We had a great guest, former lieutenant governor, who is Latino in California under Arnold Schwarzenegger, breaking that down. Now you have this cohort, 18 to 24-year-olds, gravitating toward Trump, maybe not seeing him as a hero, certainly not as a villain, as an anti-hero, and the personality has broken through. The stumbling block we come back to, though, all those groups that bond with Trump and what he projects, somewhat the policies, looking fondly back upon those years, Latinos, African-American males, union members, and now 18 to 24-year-olds, at least men. It's all there. Mean to say, in the end, though, groups like that gravitate toward Trump. But that personality type, that picture of Trump, is going to be rejected by these moderate, somewhat Republicans, women in the suburbs. They're going to reject that almost completely, sort of like in 2020. We're going to see those numbers again in Bucks, Monco, Delaware, Chester County. Is that what we're going to see? I don't think you're going to see it in the same numbers, because I think there is a fondness of sorts looking back on the Trump years. But this poll and these insights, they don't see this as what Trump is tagged with, chaotic. It's normal to them. They were 10 when he was in there. And two, I don't know if they would articulate this. We've had on the young Republicans. They're a little bit older. But they got to clearly see the Democrat Party sees them as the problem. And that's why they're touting this new form of masculinity. Come on. Emhoff, I said, at the DNC convention, spoke well of Kamala Harris. But this guy impregnated the nanny. Come on. How is this guy the, oh, it's one mistake. He's the type of role model these guys need, not Trump. So we're supposed to believe guys of this age, 18 to 24, are going to see as a role model someone like Tim Walz. None of your damn business, kid. Get out of my way. And Doug Emhoff, when Trump is out there. And they're not going wholehearted for Trump. They see him as an anti-hero. But he's real. He's authentic. He's something they want to be part of at some level. All right. Get your observation on that at 855-839-1210. Coming up, our buddy Scott Presler is on to several things he's trying to beat down prior to really getting into crunch time the last 2 weeks of the election. And we'll get a winner side question today. Something identified with Florida. 855-839-1210. Where's Jesse, guy that we often hear on this? Yeah, why are young men moving this way? The obvious answer is the Democrat Party's not for them. There's nothing there for them. What is there for somebody who's straight, white male in that age category? What messages are they getting? Negative. 855-839-1210. All right, Don Giordano's show. Welcome in. Coming to your call. Scott Presler, though, with his weekly update in Luzerne County, I know, is on his mind here on Talk Radio 1210. Hey, Scott, welcome in. I liked the guest we had on from Luzerne County, the person in charge of the infrastructure there, but I was unaware of your tweet until Friday. What do you see happening there?
Well, thank you. It's very concerning. People aren't taking this seriously. There is a backlog of thousands of unprocessed voter registration and mail-in ballot applications. And from a reliable source, I have been told that even in the last couple days, these numbers have increased. And that's not only via the paper applications, that's also online. And Democrats, I want to make it clear to any Democrats that are listening to this, you should be as concerned as we are that mail-in ballot applications are not being processed. Voter registration applications are not being processed. This is voter disenfranchisement, and this is the left and the right should be asking the Board of Elections daily, very peacefully, why are they not hiring more people? Why is there not mandatory overtime? And why are they not being honest about the SURE system actual numbers? And I hope that we can get answers to this because the last day to register to vote is on October 21st. And are they going to have all of these applications processed in time?
Luzerne is the place that ran out of ballots, right? Was it 2022?
Yes. And that's why this is so concerning as well. This isn't just, you know, Scott Presler just making something up out of the blue. We already on the 23rd received written correspondence from the Luzerne County Board of Elections that they are saying 4,000 unprocessed applications are outstanding, even though we know it's more. This is a county that has had incompetence in the past, that factually, you may fact check me, the Luzerne County Board of Elections ran out of paper on Election Day in November of 2022. This is a county that has a history of things going wrong, and that's why I'm doing everything I can to bring national attention to what's going on in Pennsylvania.
Well, you definitely are. Scott, how do you feel, other than Luzerne County, and I know you'll stay on top of that, this message of the Secretary of State, and it plays right into this, that I worry about. Pennsylvania is going to decide it. I think you and I agree with that. And thank God we have Scott Presler out there. That's the secret weapon. But we can't have 2 or 3 days. The country can't stand that. Of Pennsylvania going back and forth with all these delays to determine who wins the presidency.
Correct. Well, and that's why we are pushing for an all-of-the-above approach to voting. Yes, Republicans are going to be doing early voting. Now, this is very important. Some of these board elections are playing games, and if you say early voting, they're going to tell you there's no early voting. I mean, really, the corruption that's going on in Pennsylvania is very concerning. If somebody tells you there isn't early voting, then you use this vernacular. Please write this down. You say, I am requesting to vote an on-demand, in-person mail-in ballot. And if you have any problems, you record what's going on, please. You are allowed to record inside a Board of Elections offices. And in fact, the Luzerne County Board of Elections tried to stop us from recording, but we won that battle, that peaceful battle. And if anybody is giving you a hard time, I want you to email me at auditpa, that's A-U-D-I-T, P as in Paul, A as in Apple, at earlyvoteaction.com. And I'm very happy. Any information that you have, any whistleblowers out there, any videos that you take of boards of elections playing games with you, I will happily put this information to my 1. nearly 7 million audience on X alone. And if these boards of elections want to play games, well, too, we'll happily come to the chessboard.
And Scott, for the General Scott Presler journey to greatness here, where do we go?
Please go to my website, earlyvoteaction.com. We need your continued financial support. And I want to make it clear. And if our Secretary Al Schmidt is listening, if Governor Shapiro is listening, if any Democrat spies are listening, I am talking to attorneys. I am talking to lawyers. We are watching everything you do. And I promise you, if this is not rectified, we are not going to wait until we don't have standing. We are prepared to go forth with litigation. We are prepared to sue your behinds. This is voter disenfranchisement. This cannot stand. We are aware what's going on. We have the sure system numbers. And I promise you, I am going to be like a dog on a bone peacefully, and we are not going to let this issue go. I promise you that.
Scott, once again, thank you. Keep us in the loop anytime. Pop on.
Thank you, gentlemen. Thanks, Don.
All right, Scott Presler here on Talk Radio 1210. Yeah, this the country can't stand Pennsylvania going, and Luzerne County is just the tip of the iceberg on this. 2, 3, 4 days. Yeah, we'll get back to you when we decide who the president is. All right, let me go to Greg in the Northeast. Hey, Greg, good afternoon.
Hey, Dom, how are you?
Good.
I really appreciate your show because at this point you're a bastion of the free press. And I wanted to speak about this whole fact-checking notion.
Yes.
The very notion of it, you know, implies we need an expert regime. It's nefarious. It's antithetical to a free people and our constitutional republic.
I agree. Really, and Greg, the wrinkle today, they threw in the forensic CBS people.
Yeah,
will be doing this. And again,
yeah,
a guy like Vance, what they're doing is they're doing what happened in the last debate. And I think they know that Vance would be waiting to jump on this detail if they tried to fact check him in this. And Trump missed the opportunity. That's the great regret I have to go after Muir with the Charlottesville thing. So that's why they're doing this approach, which is ridiculous.
I think it's out there. I think it really exposes the threat against the American people. A notion like that puts a buffer between the government and the governed, and it absolves both of their responsibilities.
Absolutely.
We are the fact checkers. We're the fact checkers. And what I would like to ask all these people that demand fact checkers is, where is this university of fact checkers? Who are they? Honestly.
Well, look,
you know, we are up against this bureaucracy. This is what's running D.C. right now.
Gotcha. Thank you, Greg. Look, we know about the Dale guy over at CNN. Now, though, we don't know if he's a forensic fact checker. You know, this is CSI fact checkers here. If you missed that part of the show today from CBS, And I think they realize that Vance in a debate is going to be more specific maybe than Trump was. If they yell fact check, he's going to go after the entire premise of this, as Trump could have in the first debate when Kamala Harris prattled on about Charlottesville. There were two or three there where he could say, that's it. You've called fact check. You've thrown the flag here, David Muir, five times. And no fact check on that. Is ABC News saying, I said that about Charlottesville? Even Snopes says untrue. We're not going to answer that. Well, I'm not moving on until I get an answer. Call the head of ABC News then. Is that what they're saying? So to Greg's point, CBS is going to have this team on social media, fact checkers, and they're forensic. We'll see if we can get a definition of what they mean by forensics are going to be involved here in fact checking. It sounds impressive, but I'm not sure exactly what they're going to do differently. All right. It is the lightning round next. Want to get a winner? Something associated with Florida. That's next here on Talk Radio 1210.
The time has come for the final test.
We usually call it the lightning round.
That's right. And today's lightning round sponsored by Cherry Hill Volvo. Enjoy back to school savings on a 36-month lease of a 2024 front-wheel drive S60 for only $369 per month down payment, registration fee, and taxes due at inception. Cherry Hill Volvo, where relationships matter. All right, something associated. Dan, by the rundown tomorrow first. So, Laura Trump right at what?
12:30, Dom.
12:30?
Yep.
And we're working on getting one of those young Republicans back on because this poll ought to give you hope. How they view Trump. It's not just conservative turning, because there are conservatives that not necessarily are going to be fond of Trump. It's that factoid about not seeing this as chaotic as the media presents it, because they weren't paying attention, and they finally see 2016 as things seem to be pretty good with people. This is an important demographic here for everybody. All right, let's go to Joe in Bordentown. Something Florida associated. Joe, what's yours?
Mine is Florida drag racing legend Don Big Daddy Gorlitz, whose car, the Swamp Rat, is on exhibit at the Smithsonian.
Oh, like pretty that. Good.
Yeah, that's a good one.
You know that I had on the all-timer there. Why am I blanking on his name? And I had to call him Mr.
Dale Earnhardt?
No, no, not drag racer. The all-time stunt guy fired on a rocket.
Say it again.
Evil Knievel?
Evil Knievel. And I had to say...
Evil or Robbie?
No, Evil Knievel. And I had to say, Mr. Knievel, tell me more about this. It was nuts.
Mr. Knievel.
Oh, what a great interview. Yeah. Joe of Exton, Talk Radio 1210. Joe, what's yours?
Yes. Hello, Dom. And good afternoon. My Florida thing regards the writer Ernest Hemingway and the Hemingway House and Museum on Key West.
All-time overrated author, Joe. I don't know if I part company
with
you on that. No, Hemingway overrated.
More of it.
Joe?
All right, Joe went off and he doesn't want to hear that.
Yeah, okay, he's like, yeah, he's great.
Shakespeare,
yeah.
Not overrated. Apparently Hemingway loves definitely Hemingway, overrated. Yeah. Gary in Newtown. Gary, who's yours?
Hey, Dom, how are you? I hope you guys had a great hope you had a great weekend.
Thank you.
I really loved your Tommy John conversation. It was amazing.
Oh, thank you. Henry's on to these guys. There's big endorsement possibilities of a bunch of Hall of Famers. I've had to tell Henry, though, one on the list, not happening. I'm not putting them on here. Should I say the name, Henry?
Not yet.
Not yet. All right. You'll hear who that is. No way it's going
to
be on
the rest, yeah.
Cork in the bat. Think of that. That's all I can tell you. But, Gary, what's yours?
Well, I want to say something. Leslie Fishapine said, why doesn't Trump have something behind him on stage or wherever he's at that says, like, for example, there's a great website out there called, I think it's KamalasOwnWords.org. KamalasWords.org. And if you click on it, it's her talking about what she said in the past. And it's not done by the Republican right. Party, the best as I know, but it's in her own words. So anyway, and going back to the fact checkers, that's why I would say the Kamala's own words. But my answer today is Don Johnson, a.k.a. Miami Vice, and the Don Johnson look, meaning half double beard, nice jacket, just crazy.
It seems like you were pulling that off at the Don Jr. event.
Here. Yeah, Gary, nice look there. Exactly. All right, put you down for that. Let me take one more. Bruce in the Northeast. Bruce, what's yours?
Hey, Dom. You know, it's been said a lot of these hog the left lane when they drive in Florida, and that would be the retirees.
Absolutely. That's a good one. Glad you got that in. No one said that the whole show. I'm kind of surprised.
That's a big answer, man.
All right, Henry, give me your top one here.
I thought right off the bat, Mike in Westchester's answer of Ray Finkel.
Dom didn't seem to like it too much.
No, I still, yeah, that's a little bit obscure, but okay. Dan, how about yours?
I think the top three from today, Dom, are probably Donna and Malvern with Orange Juice.
Right.
I like Ernest Hemingway from Joe and Exton. And how about the retirees, Bruce and Northeast, the Snowbirds?
I kind of like the Snowbirds, the retirees.
All right.
And at the very end, is we should have taken that one off, too. All right, that's the winner. We'll put the name into the hat. Big stuff tomorrow. I'll get more on this fact-checking tomorrow, too. Richie Always Show next. 4 big hours. Talk Radio 1210 WPHD.
Dom Giordano. Weekdays 9 till noon. On Talk Radio 1210 WPHD.